Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, May 8th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk culture. Today, we have a culturalist in the Bahamas. Let me say it again. Today, we have a culturalist in the Bahamas. That means we have someone who lives for culture, who breathes culture, who teaches culture, who, when they make their business decision, living decisions, it based on the culture of the Bahamas. Today, I have Miss Arlene Nash Ferguson. I took some massaging to have her on the radio, by the way, right? Because you're always busy. And I see the producer leave the door open. And hey, producer. Hey, Ali. You know, you have the door open, though. Don't worry about it. Okay, be good. But today we have Arlene Nash, and I want to welcome her to the radio, and thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, and it's certainly my pleasure to be here this afternoon. Thank you.
Okay, I can hear you now. I was just waiting for the mic to come up right there. And thank you very much again. You're a culturalist. That's why I'm introducing you as. For some reason, you promote and like Bahamian culture. For some reason. You've made your business based on Bahamian culture.
Yes.
Right? When you do your advocacy work, and you do advocacy work, it's based on Bahamian culture.
Yes.
Recently, this administration is a good administration. They have committed to the orange economy. And by extension, the orange economy means culture issue and initiatives will be pushed.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off the conversation with this. Recently, the Deputy Prime Minister, who is the Minister of Tourism, went to New York, saw a Broadway play, and said, I want you all in New York to come down to the Bahamas and show those culturalists the possibilities of what can be happening. I want to say that, right? I want you to respond to that. Hold on. Recently, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas went to England. He went to a school of arts that do plays and drama and the arts, right? And you have a consultant who works with him, a pointier gentleman who went to the same school he went to, and told the people them, hey, I want you all to come to the Bahamas to explain to the culturalists in the Bahamas how we plan to open up a school to teach them how to act and to do drama, because they ain't doing it how they're supposed to be doing it. The people them on the cruise line said there aren't any things for them to do in the Bahamas. The Bahamas lack depth. They lack culture. They lack things for them to embrace that is different from the rest of the Caribbean, different from the American concept and product, right? And their solution is they can build their own culture that was suited for the Bahamas. So my question to you is, how important is culture to the Bahamas? What y'all doing? It don't seem like y'all competent. It don't seem like y'all know what y'all doing, because y'all, everyone, all the politicians getting help for y'all. Right? I see Nico Bethel have one plaything there, and I want to know, is it enough? Does it look like y'all need help? Or is it that we as Bahamians just don't see the jewel that we have here in the Bahamas?
Well, Mr. Newry, what a mouthful. First of all, let me begin by thanking you for having me. This really is a pleasure and a privilege. We are back and forth on Facebook, mm-hmm. but of course, face to face and today with a wider audience. And you have really lived up to the kind of reputation that I believe you have developed on Facebook, which is you love to throw fire bun. You like to get everybody all riled up and ready to roll. So let's get ready to roll. I do not, and you have asked so many different questions. Let me just jump in right here. I believe sincerely that Bahamians are some of the most gifted people in the world. We are an exceptional group of people, and I simply use Junkanoo as one example. You have a population, in many cases, in almost every case, with no formal training. But we come from a people that could take a cardboard box, that could see, their genius permits them to see a world-class work of art in a cardboard, from a cardboard box. And they will take that cardboard box and go into the back of their yard, and in some cases, the most, I don't want to use the word deprived, the most modest neighborhoods on this island. And when they emerge, they have created a spectacle that can match any festival around the world. And I say that without fear of contradiction. And so Junkanoo is only one example of our genius.
You're saying Junkanoo can match any festival around the world?
Yes, sir.
You believe that sincerely?
Yeah, right from the bottom of my heart, yes, sir.
And do you think Bahamians actually believe that too, that Junkanoo can match anything around the world?
Now, whether Bahamians believe it, I can't speak for the general populace, but I know I believe it. I don't think there's another festival on this earth like Junkanoo. Now, but that's another, we'll get back to that. And so I say that to say this. Bahamians are extremely gifted. The challenge is that we do not always believe that. That's the challenge. Jackson Burnside used to say, you gotta see what you're looking at. And we are not seeing what we are looking at. When you talk about when you reference the two examples mm-hmm. of the government wanting to provide help for us here in the arts, what we need is support, not help. What we need is help in the form of support. Provide the resources and let us go for ourselves. The work that's being done at the Dundas, we have a brilliant, gifted team of people who put on world-class productions on a regular basis.
I got to stop you there.
Stop
you
here.
If that was true, our leaders wouldn't have gone to New York and asking them to help them help you all support it. So I hear you trying to help.
Not necessarily. You right? got to see
it,
what you're
looking. It can't be first rate if you're getting support all the way from foreign.
Believe me, it is first rate. But you know, history tells us, and we can find countless examples. History shows us that we have always believed that foreign is better. Just look at the state. That's the only way I can put it. Look at the state of Bahamian music. I fight to hear Bahamian music in my own country. I fight unless I play it. It's not on the airwaves. You don't hear it in the streets. You don't hear it coming out of the clubs. We prefer calypso and we prefer reggae. Why is it that the people of Jamaica and the people of Trinidad can present world-class music and we can't? Why, if I say to you, not necessarily you,
no, I understand.
Why, if I say that Rake and Scrape can rival any calypso and rival any reggae, why people look at me like I'm crazy?
I'm trying
to get... It's a lack of self-confidence, and this has been ingrained in us over generations, that nothing that is of us is of value. We don't even realize that. We don't even realize that that is what it is, that that is what has happened to us. We don't realize the believing in ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves.
Let's talk tourism product.
Okay.
Culture and Ministry of Tourism are two different things.
Okay.
And people tend to forget. They always say, oh, why don't tourism do this? Why yeah. don't tourism do that?
Yeah.
When culture is a whole different ministry.
Yeah.
I want to bait you up with some questions.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own program through that top of that hill there.
Mm-hmm.
A great program, world-renowned, where people from around the world have passed
you.
Through your doors.
True.
Right? Junkin Museum, and you interact and you
yes.
explain the history.
Right.
Of that, right?
Right?
You belong to a community that's off West Street.
Yeah.
I forget the right name.
Delancey Town.
Delancey Town, where a number of culturalists area have come together to create a dynamic product.
Yeah.
Mind you, few Bahamians know that it exists, but it's a dynamic product where it can compete against anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in the Caribbean and definitely by the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even though there's people on a cruise ship say, oh, you already have them. But if they go through Delancey Street, they can see it could compete against Bourbon Street or anything like that.
Amen.
In the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have that.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow Bay Street is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Why Bay Street don't have that exuberance that Delancey Street has?
Mm-hmm.
That's my question to you.
That's a wonderful question. Yes, let me just say very quickly that Delancey Town is such a rich historical area, and we have not even developed it yet to where it could be.
You can better than that?
Yes, sir, because I am preparing us. We are renovating EduCulture now, both inside and out. And one of the things I want to do is to put information panels on the wall across the street facing us so that people will pass and read about Delancey Town and that kind of thing. Just Delancey Town alone, just to give you a quick example, Delancey Town produced the first Bahamian bishop of the Anglican diocese, the first female president of the College of the Bahamas, the Honorable A.F. Adley, and his sons, Paul and Francis, lived right on Delancey Street, Poinciana Hill. It goes on and on. I can go from street to street. There was a time when the three ambassadors of the Bahamas were from the hilltop. We call it the hilltop. And so Cecil Wallace Whitfield lived down the street. Chuck Virgil was in between Uncle Cecil's house and ours, and it went on and on and on. Angela Boswell Palacios, the first female priest in the Anglican diocese. Davidson Hepburn, Bishop Donaldson and his wife Mildred, who did such outstanding work. Marjorie Davis just passed away the other day. The whole Davis family. Mr. Allen had a shop on Dillett Street, the father of David Allen. Mr. Turnquest, the father of Orville Turnquest, had a shop on Meeting Street. It just goes on and on and on. And so the point I'm making is that one of the things I want to see to further develop it is signage. And that brings me to Bay Street. We have a fabulous port that's going up now. Even if you haven't been in there, you see that magical, the shape of the roof or whatever that is, and you start to wonder what is going on. In Junkanoo, we would say they thinking stupid.
I look at it and say, look, it looks like Miami, eh?
Yeah.
It looks like Miami.
Now, and that's my point. It may be ultra modern, and it may reflect in your thinking that it's nothing different here than the rest of the world. Bay Street is what the port does not have, that Bay Street has, that we need to capitalize on, is the fact that the town of Charlestown, later renamed Nassau in 1695, but in 1666, it was Charlestown. We are talking over 300 years of history when it comes to the town of Old Nassau. No modern building today can compete with that. And in my mind, that is what we need to celebrate, and we need to show off, and we need to make sure that everybody knows.
Nash Ferguson, we have a call here, and producer Patrick called through. And I say to you, can anything good come from Bay Street?
Yes.
The dilapidated place?
Piece
of Bay Street look like back of Auckland, yeah, where we don't have no telephone yet.
That'd be a wonderful and you say cultural thing.
Come from there?
Oh, I could see it now. Yes, sir.
Let me connect to caller there. Producer Patrick, caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasant good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead there.
And a pleasant good morning, Ms. Arlene Nash.
Good morning, sir.
Sparky here. Tell him something else but West Street Hill. Sir Cyril Fountain Chief Justice was right across the road from Arlene Nash Dem House.
Absolutely.
Down by Christchurch Cathedral, there's a little building just east of Christchurch Cathedral, in the backyard of Christchurch Cathedral. Mr. Lunn had five young fountain boys used to make suits for the governor of, what was his name, that had left the throne, that came down to the Bahamas. What is his name?
The Duke, yes.
The Duke of Windsor. They used to make suits for the governor and his staff. They were my uncles, and they all lived on top of West Street Hill, and they called all the Arlene Nash and all the HO and all of them the Hilltoppers. You see that? The building right across from Arlene them own, my grandfather, Eugene Harold Fountain, is still standing across the road from Arlene Nemo.
Yes, it is.
It's still there. That whole area is nothing but history.
Exactly.
They never taught us nothing but that, Ms. Nash.
No.
They taught us going through every school I went through about Henry VIII and all of them.
Yes.
They never told the Bahamian people about ourselves.
Yes.
Now they're telling us about the Africans is over. We still haven't been teaching nothing about the Bahamians, but we lied to ourselves a lot. We tell people they're going down to the Western Esplanade, that they're going to Arawaki. Arawaki is across the road from the Western Esplanade. We don't have no functions there. We have maybe have fish fry down there. But Arawaki is where the boats is coming to unload for the port and all the cars and stuff.
So let me press on to Ms. Irene Ash on what you said. How do you see, what is your vision of Bay Street, the possibility? I see all the money going to the port. The port is a new big thing. But the crew's line is talking about Bay Street and not necessarily the port. So there's a disconnect between we as Bahamians and what we see Bay Street can be and what the owners of Bay Street is now waiting on, right? But where do you see Bay Street? You were talking about 300 years.
Yes, sir.
And I'm trying to say, is that 300-year history have value? Is it important? Do the tourists want to hear about this 300-year-old history?
I think they do.
They want to hear about pirates?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
They want to hear about the governor?
Disney made pirates very popular and so romantic. And so if it's one thing they want to hear about, it's the pirates. Yes.
And then watch me beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where the pirates' capital was? And this is a general broad question. And mm-hmm. means that the Pirate Republic was Nassau, Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
Not a tourist. No, that is Nassau, Bahamas.
That's the point I'm making.
No one knew that Blackbeard was a de facto governor.
Right.
Of the Bahamas.
Roughly from around 1702 until Woodes Rogers arrived in 1717.
Yes. Every American tourist knew who Blackbeard is.
Yes.
But they don't know that he was here.
That's right. Exactly. And we don't broadcast it. Now, we do have Pirates of Nassau downtown.
But
my point is that if we give a serious focus to old Nassau, I keep calling it, mm-hmm. then we can start to strategize and brainstorm on what we want to see. And I would start, as we're talking, for me, the foundation is initial maintenance. Okay? The place needs to spruce up. We need to...
Spruce up or demolish?
We need to paint the buildings that are still viable, and we need to start to inject energy. And these are only some ideas I have. Everybody knows what they want to see on Bay Street. But simple things like hanging baskets with flowering plants. And for me, the biggest thing is placking the buildings. You should be able to walk downtown Bay Street and get the story of how it developed. I'll give you an example. When you come off of Marlborough Street and you turn onto Navy Lion Road and you're going to do that swing onto Bay Street, mm-hmm. there's a yellow building right there. It used to be Arby's some time back. Yeah. You know the building I'm talking about, right before Pompey Square.
Yes.
Look up at it.
Mm-hmm. Looked like a church.
Exactly. And it was. It was the Seaman's Chapel. It was St. Cuthbert's. Mm. Who knows that?
Who knew that?
How interesting it would be if there was a plaque on that building. The first House of Assembly that was established by Woodes Rogers was on the corner of Market Street and Bay Street. There's a little souvenir shop there now on the...
It can be.
Yes,
you're making that up.
Yeah, it was right. And listen here. The heart of the town in Woodes Rogers' time was George Street. Mm-hmm. It was the Loyalists who extended the town further east to Parliament Square. And so that part of town is very, very old. Woodes Rogers, he had one building and he used it for the House of Assembly. He used it for the jail, and he used it for the courthouse. It's a fascinating story, but we don't know.
So you're saying, despite what is happening on Bay, the pause between the owners of Bay Street and the government and not knowing exactly what they're going to do, that there is simple things that can be done.
Right. I'm saying start with history and you can't go wrong. Imagine, CA, mm-hmm. when you go down Bay Street now, and I am delighted to see them, you have, I think they call them tourism ambassadors, and they're wearing generic vests that say tourism ambassadors on the back. Right? Imagine you walking down Bay Street and coming towards you is a pirate, just like you have described. Imagine there being...
Maybe you don't have that yet?
I don't see anybody on Bay Street in period costume. Okay. Imagine
who would employ that person? Who would have employed it? In your ways,
I would, to my mind, the Ministry of Tourism, to my mind. Now, there may be another way to do it, but... You have all of these rich periods mm-hmm. in our history that you can highlight. We had Lucayan Indians, the first Bahamians. We had Eleutheran adventurers.
I'm going to pause you there because I want you to hash out this idea. Okay. Because clearly the Ministry of Tourism do not have the expertise to bring some of these things across, or they just don't know, or they're not has access.
People may have different visions.
But you envision
yeah.
having... people in period costumes, yes, just in their job, they're getting paid.
Yes.
At least minimum wage.
And they become photo ops. And the same way.
Up and down.
Right. The same way the Junkanoo gentleman,
yes,
is out there with his drum and they're taking pictures with him. That is only one example of aspects of Bahamian culture and history that can be showcased. You know, in Junkanoo, we say, if you think normal, you can get beat. You got to think stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so why isn't there a little stand on a corner with a thatched roof and you are able to get your coconut water right out of the coconut, and you know, you are able to take your picture, and you know, and the sign says, you know, Nassau, Bahamas, established, whatever. Why?
Eileen, you're trying to make us look more Caribbean. What do you mean, thatch roof? We want skyscrapers downtown.
No, sir.
High rises downtown.
Sir. Our
we need to look more American in our
city. See how you like to sell upset. Our ancestors brought that skill of thatching with them. And that is something that needs to be celebrated. Nicolette Bethel made a comment one time. We had her on Junkanoo 242. I never forgot it. She said, all change is not necessarily progress. That's a powerful thought. All change is not necessarily progress.
I want to tell you a story. I want you comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a juk-juk school in the States.
Okay.
Business school. And the teacher, professor,
mm-hmm,
asked us a question about Columbus.
Yes.
Right? Knowing that I was the only Bahamian in the class.
Yes.
Right? And said, anyone know where Columbus discovered? Right? And the class got loud because everyone said, of course he discovered America. And he said, what you mean by America? Where? One said Columbus, Ohio. One said Washington, D.C.
Oh, Lord.
And one gone as far, because we had a couple of Puerto Ricans, said Puerto Rico.
Monster.
Right? And he laughed. And he said, you know, we have a Bahamian in the classroom. And he said, the person said, so why are you asking him? They flip it, because Americans, black Americans, tend to be forward type things too. Mm-hmm. Why are you asking him? He's a foreigner. He doesn't know about Columbus discovering America. You say Columbus discovered the Bahamas first. They were the gateway to the New World, right? And everyone's astonished. What you mean? That's not true. And they get in the sad, computers just came out, so the one had their laptop, and they start doing a search to find out where Columbus discovered, right? Because Columbus means something to them. It's a big deal to the Americans and their history, especially the Italians for some reason, right?
Yeah, and because he was from Genoa.
Right? And I asked that to say this, right? The narrative of Columbus, the narrative of we being the gateway to the New World, everything starts from here. It's not by chance. I think it's God ordained that something special is about this country, that this was the encounter of the New World,
that's the
old, and old and the new, right? We don't tell that story. The Americans don't know. They come to the Bahamas and don't know that Columbus passed through here.
Yes.
That we were the gateway. We were the encounter. They just don't know. Who's responsible for telling that story?
I would say initially, first and foremost, the schools. But let's take it from the top. He discovered nothing. He discovered the trade wind system in the North Atlantic. He could not have discovered the Bahamas when the first Bahamians were here. So we're not going to use the D word.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did, remember now, the Vikings had already come across the top there, mm-hmm, into what is today Canada, and there is strong evidence to prove that there were Africans that sailed across to South America before Columbus. What he did was he established permanent contact between Europe and Africa and our part of the world.
Is that story important to us?
It certainly is in any class that I'm teaching, because knowledge is power, and we have to get the story right. See, there's something called historiography. Historiography deals with the telling of the story. When we read history, we are reading it from the perspective of the person who saw it and who told the story. If you or I were there, we would not necessarily have seen it that way. I'll give you an example. Charles Farquharson, who was a plantation owner in, where's that, San Salvador. Right. Mm-hmm. So his diary for 1831, 1832, he said on Christmas Day in the evening, if I remember correctly, something to that effect, that mm-hmm. the Africans, the slaves, had a grand dance. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what he saw. That's not necessarily what we intuit from our ancestors or how we would have described it if we had been there. He saw it as a grand dance. It could have been something far deeper. It could have been the Africans recreating their rituals and ceremonies from home, not just partying, for want of a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to Columbus, mostly Europeans have told the story. Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting thing on Facebook where a young man from Africa who is in England, you may have seen it. Mm-hmm. He said he discovered this river. Did you see that? Yes. And I thought it was a very powerful statement, because when we talk about Europeans who go into Africa and discover the Zambezi Falls or discover Lake Victoria or whatever else they say they discover, people were there. Mm-hmm. Not because it was the first time. I can't walk in here and say I discovered a guardian, because mm-hmm. it's my first time here. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for us as a nation, especially approaching 50 years, for us to begin to see things in a different light. And that's why I congratulate Dr. Christopher Curry and the Ministry of Education, because he is now spearheading a team mm-hmm. that is revising
yes.
the history curriculum in the schools. That is so needed and so necessary.
You brought up the 50th yes, celebration sir. Of independence.
Yes, sir.
How is that celebration of 50 years of being an independent state,
yeah.
governing ourselves,
yeah.
the accomplishment since then mm. is to the overarching, overall telling of the Bahamian culture,
mm-hmm.
how much culture should be involved in it, what should we be doing, or which would you like to have seen or seen?
Yeah, well, we are just heading into the heart of the lineup now, as the baseball people would say, and so we are looking forward to what comes next. But as you say that, the presentation on Market Street, on the Old City Market parking lot on Friday past, was absolutely phenomenal.
It was, eh?
And I congratulate them for that. You know why I got excited?
Did you feel it?
I felt it.
You felt it?
Yes. And when Silbert said, I didn't know C.R. Walker was such a firebrand, it brought to life these only names that we knew from the past. But what it told me as a teacher is, we may have stumbled on a methodology that gets our history across to the general public in a very dynamic but informative way. I was very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like us, we never satisfied. You do it once, now we already hollering for more. But I could see that methodology being used to bring so much of our history to the attention of the children and of the country.
The Americans have a term, docu-movie.
Okay.
Where they are docu-narrative, where they yes. have people acting out speeches.
And that was it.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this is something that we should have capitalized on, but since we start.
Yes, that's right. And you know what impressed me with that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they did it. Anything possible these days. They made the video look old.
Like black and white. I saw that. I said, that's Jacoby. I said, How come this is like 1920s and that's Jacobi? I know Jacobi.
We got completely confused. But say, but that's how Snell look now. Mm. Snell, meaning that was his nickname in high school for Mike Smith. He say, but that's how Snell look now. And then it hit me. Snell in 1967 would not have had a beard. That was great. And so they did a fabulous job. They really did.
It was beautiful. And it's something that we can herald and do again and duplicate.
That's my point.
And put on TV, because the history of the Bahamas is not being told as much as it should.
Yeah.
Because there are a number of persons who just don't know.
That's right.
But we're talking culture and we're talking about Bay Street and we're talking about things that can be done.
Yeah.
The port opening.
Yeah.
They have a junk canoe exposition there. Yeah. And because you know, I bait people.
Yeah.
I poked the bear.
Of course you do.
I said, look how they're trying to close down Nash Place. They can have their own junk museum there and Nash finished. Because, you know, I personally like new things.
Oh,
and
yes.
I only go on the edu once.
Yeah.
When I go to that new museum in the port.
Oh, yeah.
I say, oh, Lord, Nash finished. Only thing they need now is to put a bamboo shack in that port and I ain't got to go over the hill on Nassau Street no more because I go into the port because I like new things.
Yes.
I want to know, how will the port impact culture, Bahamian tourism, as a culturalist?
Yes.
And what do you see happening or should be happening?
Yeah. And, well, let us start with the junk canoe. In the case of the junk canoe museum, I was invited over a year ago now to be a consultant for the museum. And one of the things that Mike Morris said that I remember very clearly, and they came and visited my museum to see what I do. One of the things that he said was that this is intended to be a teaser for the two junk canoe museums that currently exist on the island. This is not intended to take away. This is intended to simply be a teaser to just provoke curiosity and to get people to visit the other two museums. Now, the other thing about this modern world as well is that a lot of your business comes online and tours are booked before people come in. And so, all things being equal, I am thinking, hoping that that will be the case, that the tours that are booked will continue to be booked and come through EduCulture and Barabbas's Junk Canoe World, and that we will not feel any adverse effect of the museum on the dock. But as we talk about, as we talk about the impact of the port, it really remains to be seen. But a lot of visitors will want to come beyond the port. That's my feeling. If I pull up on a cruise ship at an island down the Caribbean, I don't want to just stay at the port. I want to come and see what the country has to offer. Mm-hmm. And that's why the contrast with Bay Street is what will allow Bay Street to hold its own. If, as Jackson said, we could see what we're looking at.
If we can see what we're looking at. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to culturalist Eileen Nash Ferguson, right? And we're having some provocative conversations. I'm teasing her and I'm trying to pull out things, right? On the other side, we'll talk about, she said she's brought in as a consultant for the port. But I want to know if anyone consultating her, see that word there? Consultating her about Bay Street. The possibilities about Bay Street. Has everyone say, hey, Nash, what's your ideas? You know? Let me talk about that. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I am talking to Arlene Nash Ferguson. I want to know if she will come back on, because you know, I have proud people and they don't like me no more.
I would love to come back.
That is good, right? I have some questions, because I have texts and people caught texting in. I didn't seem to want to call in one, right?
Yes.
From the conversation with the Prime Minister in United Kingdom and wanting to start a art school, I have put that in your head, one.
Yeah.
From the what we saw at the old city market or Market Street in terms of culture and whatever it is, right? The Clement E. Bethel's festival that we had a few weeks ago shows that we have talented
Bahamians,
talented students, people in the arts who need employment and opportunity. We have no singers on Bay. Who's singing Bahamian songs.
Exactly.
Acting out and dancing the quadrille or whatever dance they want.
Little shake, doom shack. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. None of that is happening downtown.
Mm-hmm. And you know, before you go to the questions, I was going to say, a few years ago, I had the privilege of being asked to be the Director of Culture and Heritage at the Ministry of Tourism. And some of the things that I said... that we talked about, the hanging baskets and the period costumes. Mm-hmm. Some of this was in the proposal that my ministry had put forward. We also put forward things like, why once a month on a Sunday we don't have a horse and carriage parade down Bay Street?
Just straight up, decorated.
Just go for it. And Mitzi Chipman was in the department at the time, and she came up with what I thought was a brilliant idea. She said, the planters in the front of the straw market should have the palm trees that they use to make the straw. So that you then have your information board there. And rather than bougainvillea, which you can see anywhere, you put the palm trees there so people understand. This is what makes, this is what starts all of this beautiful work in the market. I thought that was brilliant. So they are just some ideas that we had come up with. And who knows, somebody may find that file and dig it up and see if anything is worthwhile.
Nash Ferguson, one thing I love is villages. I live in a village. I live in Foxhill Village.
Yes.
Right? Every year I go to Adelaide Village and Gambia Village.
Yes.
Just me.
Yes.
Right? I have my children go and pick cotton. All the cotton trees, they say, you pick the cotton trees. I understand what the ancestors
how it
going through.
Right.
And I try and make sure they hang a bruise up. I intentionally do this.
Beautiful.
But I think differently. I drove through Mason's Edition, McCullough Corner, the other day. And they have a kaleidoscope of colors.
Yes.
Tributes to fallen Junkanoo heroes.
Yes.
And I see the winding small corners and strips and say, this is tourism right here.
There you go.
Look at this.
I always use Mason's Addition as an example. You can drive through Mason's Addition and every one of those billboards with a photograph on it has its own story. Not to mention the fact that you have the steps going up to the Fort Hill.
They don't even use the steps no more.
Ah, you have a variety of shacks. Just one of them can be devoted to welcoming visitors to come in and have a shack/junk canoe experience. Mason's Addition is a perfect example. Why do our tours go over the hill? The story of St. Agnes, the story of those silk cotton trees that are at the center of every African settlement on this island, the story of Wesley Methodist Church, the story, Grantstown is so rich, Bain Town say where you put more, and Delancey Town say we out of here. There is so much history, but a lot of it needs to be plaqued so that even the people living there will understand what they have. And then you could get out on the corner with your coconut cake and your coconut tart as the visitors come through and add to their true Bahamian experience.
Did I say McCulloch Corner Masons could sell tart and snow cone?
Absolutely.
And
canap when they in season.
And canap when they in season. But whose job is it to make that happen, right? Because I know that the people in McCulloch Corner Masons and on top of the hill, what I call it, the top of the hill?
In Finn Castle.
In Finn Castle, right? They will embrace the opportunity, but they need leadership. They just don't know how to bring it up.
That's a good question. You know?
So whose job it is to say, bring the people in that community together and say, hey, I see a vision where y'all who aren't unemployed or who are home on a Sunday anyway can sell comforters.
Yes.
Can sell snow cone.
Yeah.
Can sell the Gombe Punch soda.
And baggy.
And baggy. And you sit down, because I forget the name, Black Village, however, I forget the African name for Black Village.
Oh, okay.
Counter
Butter. Counter Butter. Something sound like that.
Once upon a time, the Africans of Fox Hill used to walk all the way to Black Village to hear the Black Village drummers beat.
Yes.
And then the Black Village drummers would give the Fox Hill drummers a chance to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the people from Adelaide, there's a yearly journey.
Yeah.
Used to journey from Adelaide to Black Village.
Mm-hmm.
And the different African tribes
mm-hmm.
all had the circle of where they beat drums.
Exactly.
And you try and say, we don't have that no more? Or the story itself has gone?
The story is lost. But the story still of the Yoruba has gone? I hope not, because I'm one.
You're Yoruba too?
Cleve Aeneas told...
I Igbo, but go ahead.
Okay, Cleve Aeneas told us that my daddy, H.O. Nash, was a Yoruba.
Mm. And that story...
And I take that as gospel.
Of course. And that story, the African story, even the European story that we have.
Yes.
The old stories of... Who is the Albrees?
Yes.
Who is the Thompson?
Yes.
You know, who is the Pinders?
Yes.
Right?
But see, we will come... This is the same thing going back to where we started. This is the same thing that caused us, the same thing that makes us believe that we are not good enough. That is how we were brainwashed.
We need the foreign people, though. You don't think we need the foreign concepts to come and make us look like Miami?
Mr. Nuri, you need to stop.
You don't think we need to be like New York?
You are less than 40 miles away from the North American mainland. Like, and we have the nerve to be different and have our own culture. Now you're trying to squeeze us
so
up with them.
So many things I need to ask you. Do you know the top restaurant on Bay Street is?
What?
Besides McDonald's? It's a top restaurant on Bay. It's the one Mexican thing owned in the Hilton. I forget the name of that. Anyway, I have some text I want to read. It said, I've always said, capitalize on Christopher Columbus landing here every October 12th. The world should focus on the Bahamas. How is it Heroes Day? I have another one. Say, good morning, Mr. Nuri, Miss Nash. I have traveled a lot of different countries, and Junkanoo is the best so far. I'm proud to be Bahamian.
Amen.
Junkanoo to the world.
Go for it.
let's see. I love the conversation, but we need to get crime under control.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yes.
Okay, that's not me there. Let's see what else I have. Okay, that's what it is. And one thing, extra, I have a text about the taxi. We're running out of time. That's why you're speaking
yeah.
now.
yeah.
Saying that the government needs to get in control with the taxi drivers. The taxi okay. drivers playing reggae.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
Say the taxi drivers playing reggae.
No.
Our culture of Bay Street, the culture of Bay Street is slowly changing to be more of a general Caribbean American concept and less of a Bahamian concept.
Regarding the music, that takes a whole program. The taxi drivers, it's not, maybe it won't fall naturally, but let's make sure we have the music for them to play. It requires a plan. When I was the director of Culture and Heritage, we held a competition called the Bahamian Thing. Obi Wilchcombe was determined to make it worthwhile. The first prize, excuse me, was $25,000.
Oh, real money.
We got 132 original songs created by Bahamians, and we fought to get them played on radio stations. They just died after that.
I totally kind of want to produce music. I didn't know that Bahamians is right anymore.
Bahamians, but now we have to encourage them. We have to get the radio stations to say, okay, this is where we'll start. We'll start with 30% of our music has to be Bahamian, and in 2 years, that can be up to 100%. We need a plan, and we have to encourage the songwriters. We have to encourage the producers. How do you do that? And so this is all food for thought that you and I will discuss at another time.
I have 30 seconds, and give you the last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been stimulating. I do hope that those of you who are hearing us this morning have been encouraged and your thinking has been provoked, because we love the Bahamas. Thank you for having me.
I love the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. This has been Eileen Nash Ferguson talking to you today. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.